Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Biblical Bumblers support group. I know I've seen at least a few of you here before, but some of you look like you're new. So please know that all Biblical Bumblers are welcome. This is a safe and accepting place, regardless of what you may have done in the past or done in the Bible. We're not here to judge one another, but to support one another, knowing that we've all made some dumb mistakes. It's just unfortunate that some of you had to do your dumb mistakes in the best-selling book of all time. But that doesn't make you bad people. That just means that you need reassurance and healing, and that's why I'm here. So let's begin with our mission statement, shall we?
We may be seen as giants of the faith, but our mistakes don't make us giant failures. Only real people in need of real understanding.
So let's begin with some introductions. How about we start with you, sir?
Hi, I'm Jonah, and I'm a Biblical Bumbler.
Hi, Jonah.
I'm a prophet. You know, I sort of like a messenger. Bring God's message to people. There are good assignments and bad assignments. I did a lot of good work, but nobody remembers those missions. All I remember is the time that God called me to this horrible city called Nineveh. Those Ninevites are miserable people. He deserved to be punished for being awful people. But would God let them cry? No. God wanted me to tell the Nineveh to repent. And if they did, God would forgive them.
How did that make you feel?
Mad.
Mad. Why did it make you feel so angry, Jonah?
Because they deserved to be punished. And God was going to let them off the hook. It was a waste of my time. I knew God was going to forgive them anyway. So why should I put myself through the torture of dealing with these people?
So tell us what you did.
I told God to find someone else. And I skipped the country.
You ran away?
Yep.
Where did you go?
I thought I'd take a cruise. Hopped a ship and went sailing into the horizon. Away from Nineveh and away from God.
And you didn't think that God would find you on a boat?
Well, I guess I didn't really think through the whole plan.
Hey, Sarah, I bet he's the fellow who got swallowed by a whale.
Everyone can hear
you. What a moron.
Everyone can hear you.
I don't care. Can you believe this? We are in the presence of whale vomit. Now, he's a biblical bumbler if I ever saw one.
Now, remember, sir, We're here to support one another, not to make fun of one another. And we need to let everyone have a chance to speak without any judgment.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. I'm used to the whale vomit jokes.
Well, maybe we should go on with the introductions. Why don't you go next?
Hi, my name is Jacob, and I'm a biblical bumbler.
Hi, Jacob.
I'm known for lots of good things. After a little wrestling match with God, God named me Israel. And my sons and grandsons became the 12 tribes of Israel. But what I'm most known for is my relationship with my twin brother. I swindled Esau out of his birthright with a bowl of stew. And I conned my father into giving me my brother's blessing by tricking him and making him think I was my brother. And when my brother found out I robbed him twice, he came after me to kill me. So I ran away.
Welcome to the club, bro. What did you get swallowed by?
Nothing. But I did get sucked into marrying one woman when I thought I was marrying her sister. My own uncle tricked me.
Served you right for fooling your own father. Never did I think my own grandson would turn out to be a con artist.
Now, sir!
It's okay. I've heard it all before. So I'm guessing you've realized that I brought my grandparents along with me today.
Wonderful. Sir, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, certainly, though I don't think I need an introduction. I'm Abraham.
And?
And what?
Well, normally that's where you say, and I'm a biblical bumbler.
Oh, no, you misunderstand. I'm here with my wife. She's the bumbler.
Excuse me.
Well, that's why I told Jacob I'd come today to support you.
To support me? Because you're so perfect? You're a model biblical character?
I'm a hero of the faith. God chose to start his covenant with me.
He chose us, not just you.
Okay, let's stop right there, okay? I'm sensing there's a little tension here between the two of you, so perhaps we need to explore some of these feelings a little more deeply. But first, ma'am, would you please introduce yourself to the group?
Well, I'm Sarah, Abraham's wife, Jacob's grandmother.
And
a woman of great patience for putting up with this man all my life.
And Sarah, what brings you here today?
Oh, I thought that handsome King David would be here. I hear he's quite a looker. But I guess he isn't coming today.
No, I guess not. Is that the only reason that you came?
No. Jacob said that this would be a helpful group. And I thought it would be good for Abraham and for me.
Good for you in what way?
Well, I thought that maybe once I'd hear my dear husband admit he was wrong.
Wrong about what?
Oh, where do I begin?
Okay, maybe we'll try something just a little different here. Sarah, do you see yourself as a biblical bumbler? Are there things in your life that you feel that you've done wrong?
Well, there might be a few things.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Please, feel free to share some of the things that weigh on your conscience.
All right. Well, it all started when God told Abraham that we were going to have a baby.
Oh, how wonderful. I love babies.
Well, so do I. But I was barren most of my life, and I finally gave up hope. Then when I was about 65, God called us and promised we'd have a son. We were so excited. We waited and we waited and we waited and still no baby.
Well, and how did that make you feel, Sarah?
Frustrated, anxious, impatient. I thought, I guess I'm just too old. Maybe God needs some help to give us a son. So I asked Abraham if he would try to have a son with our servant girl, Hagar.
You didn't ask, dear. You told me to.
Well, you certainly didn't seem to mind. Seem to remember.
Can we move on? I can't handle this particular topic.
Why is this awkward for you, Jacob?
They're my grandparents. I don't want to hear about this. Maybe I should have come alone.
Okay, then. So, Sarah, it must have been a hard decision to allow the servant girl to have a child with your husband.
Not really. Not at the time. Because then I didn't care if it was her baby or mine. I just wanted Abraham to have the son he'd been promised. But after she became pregnant, I was jealous.
Well, I can understand that. It's perfectly natural. Hagar was living the dream that was supposed to be yours.
Well, that was not the worst of it, though. I was so jealous, I couldn't stand to have Hagar in my sight. So I asked Abraham to send her away. But he said that was my decision.
So you sent a pregnant woman into the wilderness?
Hey, buddy. That's my wife we're talking to. At least she didn't run away and become whale bait.
I'm not judging her. We've all done foolish things.
Well, I'm not proud of it. Looking back, I can't believe I ever let my jealousy get the better of me. But God provided for her and this child. Abraham was able to meet his son, but soon after that, God told us that Ishmael was not the promised one that he had said, that we would have our own son someday.
Well, thank you for sharing, Sarah. Abraham, can you tell us how the whole experience, what it was like for you?
When Isaac was born?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I've never been so happy before. Those were the best days of my life.
But wasn't it difficult for you? You had to wait a really long time to have a son.
Well, sure. Who expects to have a baby and turn 100 around the same time? Most fellas my age were playing bingo and shuffleboard, and there I was, changing diapers and singing lullabies.
So Sounds to me like it was quite an adventure. Finally, you had everything you'd ever waited for, though.
Indeed. I knew God would keep the promise. I always trusted in God completely.
I'm sorry, my dear, but even I can't pretend that's true.
What do you mean? Have you ever met a man of deeper faith than me?
No, I haven't. But even you aren't perfect. Have you forgotten the adventure in Egypt?
This sounds like a good story. Tell it, Grandma.
Well, thank you, Jacob. During the Great Famine, we had to move to Egypt for food. And Abraham had heard that the Egyptians were brutal, bloodthirsty people, and he feared for our safety. So when we met the king, your grandfather tried to figure out a way to keep us safe.
So what did he do?
He lied to the Egyptians and told them I was his sister, not his wife.
No way.
He did. He figured that if the king took a liking to me, then both of us would be safe. And that's just what happened.
So you gave your wife to the king to save your own skin?
Grandpa.
Well, the king might have killed us, and your grandmother caught the eye of every man around.
I was 65 years old.
Some beauty never fades, my dear.
I second that motion.
Well, aren't you the sweetest? But that doesn't change the fact that you used me as bait. And not just once, but twice.
I'm sorry, twice?
Yes, years later, after Isaac was born, we were going through Gerar, and again, Abraham feared for our safety. So he tried to loan me to the king there, too.
Oh, my God. How could you do that? And you don't think you're a biblical bumbler?
Yeah, I'd say that classifies as biblical bumbling. Welcome to the club, dude.
Sarah, do you think that we need to talk to Abraham about having respect for women?
No, I know he respects me. He was just scared. And instead of trusting God to take care of us, he took matters into his own hands. Like I did with Hagar.
So what ended up happening?
Well, God wasn't happy with that Abraham had lied, and so he punished the kings for what we were doing, which made them finally realize that I was Abraham's wife, and they both became very upset. But they did let us go, both times.
Well, you were lucky. They could have done much worse to you.
So Abraham, can you tell us, what did you learn from these experiences?
I learned that my wife still got it, even well into her 90s.
Amen to that.
Don't you try to sweet talk to me now. Those were some of the worst times in our marriage. I'd like to know if you learned anything from them too. So?
I guess I learned that God helps protect things and people in your life who are most precious to you, even when you do foolish things.
And can't you see how God was protecting you and watching out for you all through your life, even without your help?
Well, sure, I can see that. God has been more than good to Sarah and me. I guess when we became afraid or jealous or angry, it's easy for us to think we need to take drastic steps to make everything turn out well. But actually, those are the best times to trust that God knows better than we do.
I think that's true. If you think about it, each one of us is guilty of not trusting God to take care of us, aren't we?
I know that's true for me, but God has proved his faithfulness over and over to us. When my son Joseph was just a boy, I lost him. I thought he was dead, but years later we found one another again. If that's not proof of God's faithfulness, I don't know what is.
I think you've all made a good point here. God is with us always, no matter what we do to mess things up. We're better off letting God take control of our lives. But even when we do foolish things to work against God's plan, God's still there to forgive us.
And even if you run away from God, hop on a ship, and are thrown overboard during a storm, God will provide a whale to swallow you and save you from certain death.
The whale saved your life?
God saved my life from the whale by helping me get out of the whale safely, even though I deserved to be fish food.
I guess I can see that.
And God went with me when I finally went to prophesy at Nineveh. And then, though I needed a slight attitude adjustment afterwards, God knew that someone needed to go to Nineveh and that I was the right one for the job. So he stuck with me until I realized it.
Well, I think that we have made some wonderful progress here today.
Thank you for welcoming us. I think today was helpful for both of us, don't you, dear?
Absolutely. I know that I'm no better than the rest of you. I'm actually one of you. My name is Abraham, and I'm a biblical bumbler.
Hi, Abraham.
In fact, maybe next time we'll bring my nephew Lot and his wife. Lovely couple, though she's extremely quiet.
She turned into a pillar of salt when we left Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, that would explain her vow of silence, huh? Well, she certainly would add some flavor to this group, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she truly is a pillar of the faith.
God help me. They have the same sense of humor.
Well, I think our time is up for today. Thanks for all the good work. Please remember, even though you made epic blunders, which the world will never forget, really, we're all bumblers in this life. But God loves bumblers anyway.
Somebody ought to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, with a big whale on it.
There you go.
Well, until next week then, shalom.